The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. So, I am captivated by what's been going on with Sean Miller. I don't know if you guys have been paying much attention to Christian Dawkins and Sean Miller and this whole wiretapping, Book Richardson, even Tayshaun Cherry's dad's name was dropped yesterday. I don't know how, and I said this a couple of months ago, I don't know how U of A can keep Sean Miller after all this. And then you get these U of A nitwits that just think, you know, you're hating on the program and what do you know? And like, guys, it's wiretaps. It's just right there. And these are people that were around Sean. Like, oh, I had no idea this was happening. It feels like Sean Miller needs to go do the Kelvin Sampson rehab tour. That's where you leave and you go to an NBA team and you're like third assistant coach and you just kind of disappear off everybody's radar. And then you jump back into it, which is what he's doing. So I feel like as this is progressing, and I'm just checking right now, as this goes through the day, that I'm going to be doing this a little bit on what's going on. Danny Ainge suffered a mild heart attack on Tuesday night. Danny Ainge, of course, a great Phoenix Sun. Danny Ainge, I'd say a great Phoenix Sun. Eric, would you disagree with that statement?
Yeah, I disagree with it.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously. I don't think he was a great Phoenix Sun. I think he was a good Phoenix Sun. I wouldn't consider him a Charles Barkley or a Kevin Johnson.
What's your definition of great in this case?
Stoudemire?
My definition of great is he brought the grit that they were missing.
Grit and great are very different to me.
He was a grit player? No, that makes him a great player.
Kurt Thomas
was a Rajah grit Bell player. A great player?
No, but he was a good player.
Grit player?
Yes, he was a grit player.
I'd say Rajah Bell was a great player.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't put Rajah Bell on your team?
I don't like to throw around the word great. Yes, I'd love to have Rajah Bell on my team, but just because Rajah Bell, I don't want a team full of great players. I need grit players, and Danny Ainge certainly was. Danny Ainge is a Celtic. He's not a Sun.
Wow.
And I wouldn't even say he was great with the Celtics.
Boy, you hate.
I don't hate. You asked the question.
Look, okay.
Is Danny Ainge one of the 50 greatest players in the NBA?
No.
Okay. The 50 greatest players to me are great players.
Greatest. He was great. My definition of great was
this is me turning off my mic.
What I liked about Danny Ainge when he played here was I thought he was great in terms of being that kind of yin and yang to Charles Barkley. I think Dan Majerle was some of that. I think Danny Ainge brought a different perspective, which made him a great teammate. I think you're a great teammate, Eric, even though you just shut off your mic and shut down the camera and all that stuff, but it's fine. We have Pedro Gomez with us today. We've not had Pedro on in a while, but you know, guys.
Speaking of great, Pedro Gomez is great. He's a great insider. He's gritty and great.
What are you talking about?
Continue with your monologue.
We have a great lineup today. We have Pedro Gomez. He's great. We have Michael Fabiano. He's great, right? Eric, we would agree that Michael Fabiano is great, right?
Well, he is a Hall of Famer.
He is a Hall of Famer.
He is great.
But there's some people in the Hall of Fame that don't deserve to be in. Goody at the Movies is with us. He's great. So, I don't know why we got off on this little rant, but I need to talk in all seriousness about Monty Williams. But first, Sagicor. Okay, so when I talk to you guys about Sagicor now and Sagicor, what I want to tell you about in full upfront disclosure is it's more than just getting you a life insurance policy. It really is. Although you need it. If you didn't come home tonight, would everything be handled the way you'd want it to be? Okay, but there's also annuities. Yesterday morning, I was sitting with someone who's looking around at doing some different things with their life insurance, and they've got it with a whole bunch of different people. I think that if you don't take a good, long, hard look at everything you have, if you're like, okay, I checked the box, got it done. I haven't looked at it in a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. I don't know if it's term. I don't know if it's whole. I don't know what it is, Brad. Take some time and learn what you have in your portfolio that you are protecting those that matter most. Or maybe you just need to get started. Log on, get your free quote at Sagicor now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Pedro Gomez here in about 9 minutes. So the Suns have reportedly made an offer to Monty Williams. Doesn't mean that they're not going to make offers to other coaches. It just means that they've reached out and Monty Williams is somebody that they're interested in. Monty Williams also supposedly, reportedly has an offer from the Lakers. Monty Williams is with the Philadelphia 76ers. The 76ers are in the playoffs. Brent Brown is their coach. If they do not make it through the playoffs, in my humble opinion, if I trust those who I read and hear and believe, he will not be the head coach next season. Which job is better? Well, the draft lottery is in 12 days. If the Suns get a position or in a position to draft Ja Morant, which I do believe they should do, if they get the number one overall pick and it ends up that they go with Zion Williamson, they still don't have a point guard here in Phoenix. Is Phoenix slowly becoming a very attractive job because they've had so much dysfunction and they haven't been to the playoffs since May 29th, 2010? Is Phoenix, because Robert can't sign free agents, all he does is draft players very high? Different general manager, different coach, doesn't matter. It's Robert's running the show here. If you go to L.A. and you're Monty Williams, what do you have to work with out there? You're really just LeBron James's guy. Monty Williams lost his wife. I talked about this last week when it first came out. Lost his wife in just a horrible, horrible accident. It's up on the website. He went underwater. He went and worked in the Spurs front office. I'll take anybody who works in the Spurs front office. He is now on the bench in Philadelphia as one of the assistant coaches, so he's back in the league. If they hire Monty Williams, there's not a chance that anybody can question this other than it's a good hire. It's a great hire, in my opinion. The facts are, it can be a great hire. He can be a terrific coach. But the X factor will always be until... And anybody over the Suns organization, you get worked up about this stuff, you shouldn't. It's a fact. Until you make the playoffs, until you stop blowing out people at all levels, until Robert gets out of the way, we're going to question. It could be the greatest hire of all time. In a day and age in sports where appealing to female, I see it in the NFL all over the place now. NFL is trying their hardest to market to moms. You hire someone like Monty Williams, and you're going to be able to reach over to that other side because the media is going to latch totally onto his story. His story is not pretty. Doesn't mean you shouldn't hire him. Is there a strategy behind this? I would hope not. I just wish it would be about X's and O's. We're going to hire the best X and O guy. But because the PR here has been so down for so long, and they haven't done much right at all on the court, it feels to me like there's got to be some people sitting around boardrooms saying, you know what, we can get this guy in town to do a story, and we'll get this media in town, and we'll do this. That stuff happens, unfortunately. Just hire the best coach. But he wants a couple of weeks. So if Monty Williams wants a couple of weeks, do I just move on from him and say, well, you know what, I need an answer now? In my humble opinion, no, I don't. Some people would see it differently than me. Some people would say, you know what, Brad, we're tired of being used. Look, he's in the middle of a playoff series. He's got to look if Philadelphia is going to make a change with their coach or not. Their playoff series is very early on. This may go on another week. And there should be something that plays into it of draft position. Look, if the Lakers get the number one overall pick and you come into LA, is there still going to be a level of dysfunction with ownership? With Jeannie Buss and how it's worked out with LeBron's guys. Yeah. If you come here, you know that Robert is the big 800-pound elephant in the room. That's just how it is. Nobody can deny that. Nobody. So I don't blame him for saying, I've got to take a step back. Because as rough as this job is and has been, and you know what you're signing up for when you go in, you can't deny... If they get Zion or Ja, and they have DeAndre Ayton, and they have TJ Warren, and they have Josh Jackson, and they have Devin Booker, and outside of Devin Booker, they have these players, and TJ Warren, outside of the guys that I listed, they've been so bad, they've had these high picks. Yeah, Dragan Bender, total miss, right? Marquise Chris, total miss. I'm not thrilled with anything that has gone on, but this would be a win if the Suns were to get Monty Williams. Then the next step would be people saying, yeah, well, it's still the same old Suns. Again, the minute the Suns become relevant, the minute the Suns can figure out how to make it to the playoffs, much like we see in Denver, where they hadn't been to the playoffs since 2009. But that's Denver. We've got a team that had a great, great, outstanding tradition and heritage across the NBA that's been completely run into the ditch. So the minute they do bounce back, this city will be front-running like they've never front-run before. All right? We saw a little bit with the Coyotes as they were getting ready for postseason. So I'm not upset at Monty Williams today. I don't need an answer today. I think in his position, he's going to be back coaching. What's interesting is I heard an interview with Brian Windhorst, and he was talking about, and Brian's been on this show before, how a year ago, Monty Williams, nobody was pursuing him, couldn't get a job. Now he's the guy in demand. All right, Pedro Gomez is next, talking about the Diamondbacks and much, much more. Then Michael Fabiano, now that the draft is over and free agency is over, all the stuff in the fantasy football world, and Goody at the Movies. I'm Brad Sussmat. Pedro Gomez joins us now, and of course, Pedro, ESPN, MLB insider, joins us to talk about all things around baseball, the Diamondbacks, and even times where he's on the Cardinals, he's hanging out in a parking lot waiting for Peyton Manning to drive through, or Kyler Murray, or whatever it may be. But most important about Pedro is he's a family guy. So today you're joining us from where exactly?
Greenville, South Carolina, home of the Greenville Drive, the Class A affiliate of the Boston Red Sox in the South Atlantic League, or as it's known, the Sally League.
You're in the Sally League, and you're there to watch your son.
Yes.
And how is your son doing? We've been following and chronicling your son's journeys and adventures through the years. How is your son doing his quest to be a Major League Baseball player?
Yeah, you guys were actually one of the first to do a story on him. That was way back when he was at Bend, Oregon in Summer League. He is doing well. His numbers are really good. He got in last night, really difficult situation. Came in, bases loaded, no outs, and the batter was Sam Huff, who, by the way, went to Arcadia High and leads the minor leagues with 12 home runs before that at bat. And unfortunately, Rio served up his fifth career minor league home run, and Sam Huff got a grand slam. Only one of the runs went to my son, but giving up a grand slam is never good.
No. Are you crazy?
It was a Phoenix kid, but it was a Phoenix.
There you go. There's a consolation prize. So are you crazy, Dad, at these games? Yeah, how do you handle it?
Internally, yes. I'm crazy, Dad. Internally.
Yeah.
Externally, I just sit there and I'm a little fidgety, but it's hard. It's really difficult. But then at the same time, I have to remind myself, my Lord, he's playing professional baseball, you know, for the Boston Red Sox organization. He is in his second year, because he got drafted in June of 17, so it's not even 2 years that he's been with the Red Sox, and he's already risen three levels. Mm. So he's certainly doing well, but I do have to remind myself how well he's doing before I am ready to jump off the ledge.
Do you yell at umpires during games when he's pitching?
No, I never.
Never once.
Never.
Do you get into confrontations with fans, hecklers? Anybody give your son a hard time?
Has
your son heard
that,
anything about being Pedro Gomez's kid on the hill and he gets a strike because of that?
I don't believe so. He, his teammates know. Things like that. But what happens more often than not? Nobody will come heckle me, but people will come up and say, oh, my God, what are you doing here? Are you scouting? Are you watching, younger players? And I'll explain why I'm there. And they're like, oh, wow, that's great. Can I take a picture with you? I do get a lot of that.
That's good. You need to embellish, though, Pedro. I'm here to see this pitcher. Have you guys heard of this pitcher Rio? I just pulled in. I hear that he's better than Clayton Kershaw. What do you think? That's where it needs to go. So
it is bizarre though, Brad. Because like last night we were sitting kind of behind home plate, and I'd swear there was at least 25 scouts at the game last night. So you see them all raise up their guns, the radar guns, and you want them to do so well. And it wasn't a great outing. It wasn't a horrible outing. I mean, his ERA is still 1.80 for the season. Very, very good ERA. But it was not a sharp outing.
You sound like such a dad, which is great. I mean, it wasn't bad. His ERA is 1.80, and the ball was a moonshot out over the cow in right field in South Carolina. No, I'm just kidding.
A moonshot, by the way. I think he hit it to Raleigh.
Oh, gosh. That's great.
He's a big, strong kid. This kid, Sam Hoff, by the way, he's in the Rangers system. Keep an eye on him.
Okay, one last question for you on this. What is the chances that he pitches at Fenway Park?
Oh, God. You know, there's almost 10,000 minor league players. There's only 750 major leaguers. So you just do the math, and it's really, really hard. It's difficult. I would say probably 5 to 10%, but... hey, 5 to 10% is a lot more than almost every other person who ever plays this game.
That's true. It's true. Pedro Gomez with us, ESPN Major League Baseball Insider. So here we are on the 2nd of May, and the hometown nine is a game out of first place. They just sweep the Yankees, which, by the way, the Yankees had a double-A lineup out here but with CC Sabathia, but who cares, right? They're a game out of first place, Pedro. Like, baseball season still matters in Arizona. Are you surprised by this?
I am a little bit, although I will tell you this. I spoke to Torrey Lovello, I think it was the first week or so of the season when the Red Sox were in town for the opener, the opening weekend. And he did say, look, we're going to be a lot better than people think. We've got some things going on. We think that we're going to be good. And you and I have had these conversations for years and years in the month of April. And there are times that in April, by the end of April, the D-backs are done.
Yep.
There's no way they're going anywhere. And we've known it. And, you know, to Lovello's, just to pat him on the back, really, because he knew there was something about this club, even without Goldschmidt, even without Pollock, even without Corbin, he knew there was something about them that was gritty. He liked the makeup of them. And, hey, 5 weeks into the season, they certainly are in a much better position than I'll admit than I ever thought they would be at this point. And the longer you go like this, the more things can build up and you start to believe in yourself and be able to stick together for the summer.
Well, I think, too, when you look at the way the National League is playing out, it's the Dodgers and everybody else. But everybody else pretty much means everybody else but Miami and maybe the Giants and Reds at this point. Maybe. But I think the Diamondbacks are in a spot where you can't say they can't be a postseason team this year because there's only one really, really good team in the National League.
Yeah, and even they're flawed. And even, you know, the Dodgers do have some flaws as well. But you're right. There are 12 or so teams in the National League that you can say, look, this can be a team playing in October.
Yeah.
And you're not exaggerating by saying that. Yeah, some things have to go. Look, the Mets can't have an injury to their rotation. The Mets are certainly getting a lot more offense than a lot of people thought they would ever get at this point. So they're able to be where they're at in the National League East. But you know, the thing is, over 162 games, you do tend to become who you are.
Yep.
So, but I would say, realistically, there are 12 clubs out of the 15 that, if things fall their way, you could see them playing in October, and certainly the Diamondbacks are one of those. Things have to go their way. They have to get, you know, some things figured out. You know, maybe some bullpen issues, maybe some Zach Godley rotation type issues. But there are certainly things that can be worked out. And here's the thing too, Brad, the longer that teams like the Diamondbacks stay in contention, the more pressure it puts on the front office to say, okay, we're going to be buyers rather than sellers because we think we've got a chance. And when you look at the National League, yeah, there might only be one super team. They are flawed. So getting to the last series in October, you could see if things happen, you could get there.
Well, and I'm in a space, Pedro, where I thought Greinke would be gone by mid-May. Now there's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way they move him. And, you know, the Padres just lose Tatis for a bit. The Rockies are coming in this weekend for a series. Robbie Ray's been okay. Godley was not good. So I agree with you on the rotation, just trying to get an answer from Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray, I would like to see him be that 7-8 inning pitcher that he used to be, and he's not anymore. I think the thing with Hazen that's impressed me so much is you look at the Goldschmidt trade right now. The team is better in the clubhouse because Paul just never said or did anything. He wasn't a bad guy. He just never did anything. There was no grit about him. Adam Jones comes in here, and I feel like there's some grit now going on inside that clubhouse.
No doubt. Adam Jones has always been recognized as one of the best leaders in all of baseball. And now, granted, that was only his time in Baltimore. But It's not like when he got to Baltimore, they were an established club. Mm-hmm. They were floundering. They were not a good ball club. They were consistently at the bottom of the American League East, and they made the postseason three times in the last, I want to say, 6 years. And Adam Jones has a lot to do with that because he just would not let guys rest. And I don't mean physically rest. I mean even mentally rest and not say, you know what, we're not good enough. He always had that positive mindset in Baltimore, and you can see it translating here. And really, it makes you scratch your head that no club thought there was value in Adam Jones until the third week of March when he signed.
Right. No, that's great. That's a great point. Before you get out of here, what's your schedule like this year? What are you doing with ESPN? Because I have to give you the broadcast hard time stuff now, tie game and everything.
I'll be working on features and new stories throughout the baseball season. So just different things here and there, just all over the map, just like normal. I will say this, though.
Yeah.
I believe I'm going to have some Cardinals, football Cardinals stories, mostly because of the new number one quarterback in town, number one being his jersey number and probably his number on the depth chart as well.
Yeah, you may have some front office Cardinal story, too, to watch, the way that things have gone here. Anybody who's like, oh, let's just pay attention to football. Like, really? Are you just going to forget about what's happened here the last 18 months? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
All right. Safe travels. You sound great. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
Okay, Brad. Take care. Great to catch up.
You too. There's Pedro Gomez. What a great dream job, right? He gets to go do baseball. And when we have Pedro on in October, he doesn't know where he is because he's doing like, oh, I'm in Chicago and I have to be in L.A. tonight. And then I have to be in New York tomorrow and I have to be in Philadelphia. And they just work him really hard, but his gig, but he's also getting to see his son chase his dream. He didn't sound crazy there, Eric, when his son gave up a home run. Like, I'm thinking, well, we know Pedro well enough through the years. We got to think there's a little bit of internal burn with him.
Well, and he even was sure to mention that Rio's ERA is still well under two.
That was very funny, wasn't it?
So, yeah, everything's okay.
So, should we start this segment each week with what's Rio's ERA? Because we know that Pedro knows it down to, like, the third number.
No, but it is cool because Pedro has never – he has a platform where he could really help – overexpose his son.
Yes.
And he's never taken that route. So,
yeah.
It's nice.
Good stuff. Michael Fabiano is next because the draft is done. Free agency is done. Trades are in. So, we're going to have the Fantasy Football Hall of Famer on and do a deep dive for about 10 minutes with Michael Fabiano. That's next. Before we bring on Michael Fabiano, an update, the defense has rested in the bribery case involving Christian Dawkins. So, closing arguments start tomorrow morning. They'll go through Monday. Christian Dawkins this morning testified in New York City that Sean Miller paid players at U of A, and he had a good relationship with Miller. There's a full exchange with a defense attorney that's out there. So this story, those of you that just want this thing to go away, it's not. And Sean Miller should have resigned a year ago, and it's gotten to this point. It's ridiculous, and this story just continues to grow, so we'll keep following that. Now we turn our attention to much more pleasant happenings, and that's because the Diamondbacks swept the Yankees. And the president of the Yankee fan club is Michael Fabiano, who joins us now. NFL Network, NFL.com, senior fantasy football analyst. He is the Hall of Famer. How did you handle the Yankees' struggles here in Arizona against the mighty Diamondbacks, Michael?
Number one, I keep in mind that the Yankees went 6-3 on a West Coast road trip with a Triple-A team.
Here we go. Double-A, actually.
I don't remember in the history of sports, and I've been a sports fan forever, one team suffering so many injuries to so many big name players at the same time. It's unbelievable. So, you know, I went to a couple of the games that we played the Angels and took 3 or 4 from them. Typically, we don't really win a series in Anaheim, so I was happy. But, you know, Clint Frazier, who was called up and was raking, and then he turns his ankle trying to slide back into second base. I mean, it's ridiculous. Then LeMahieu gets hurt. Urshela's a little bit banged up. So the fact that this team is in second place and has been winning games with this roster, I mean, you got to give them all the credit in the world. And the Diamondbacks just came out and pitched better than us. And you know, CeCe pitched well. You know, it wasn't like the Yankees were blown out of the games. It was a close game yesterday. We almost got to Holland late. But, hey, 6-3 on the West Coast road trip, I'll take it. And Zach Greinke's on my fantasy baseball team, so even though the Yankees lost, I got some pretty good production from Zach.
Okay, that big takeaway from your answer is you used we three times and us once, so...
Listen, I've been a Yankees fan since I'm 8 years old, so it's almost 40 years now, dude. So it's we with everything. Yankees, Cowboys, it's we.
I love you for that and other stuff. Michael Fabiano with us, NFL Network, NFL.com, senior fantasy analyst. Now that free agency, the draft, trades are done, let us start with the Arizona Cardinals and your fantasy football view. Kyler Murray coming here and what he has to work with and fantasy football value of Kyler Murray.
Ah, man, I love him. And you know me, I'm not big on quarterbacks, especially rookie quarterbacks. But, you know, let's look back like a decade or even more at the rookie quarterbacks who really made a big fantasy impact. You know, Robert Griffin III, Vince Young, Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, Dak Prescott. What do all those guys have in common? They could run with the football. And Kyler Murray rushed for over 1,000 yards and 12 touchdowns last year with Oklahoma. He was extremely accurate as well. And the Cardinals trading Josh Rosen, which I think was great for Josh, give him a new start in Miami. Basically, Murray's the guy. And when you have a quarterback that's as dynamic as him, and I get it, he's not a big dude. Russell Wilson isn't that big either, so it's not like it can't happen where a smaller quarterback can find success. Heck, Doug Flutie wasn't a bad quarterback in his time. So I think Murray, he's probably going to be overdrafted in a lot of redrafts because of the hype, and I understand that. But if I can get Kyler Murray somewhere in the 9th, 10th, 11th round of a redraft, because quarterbacks are just not valued as highly as other positions because it's so deep, I as my QB2, I would love it. And I really do think that Kyler can end up as being a top 15 quarterback in his rookie season. Right now, I have him ranked 15th. I have him just behind Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady. And I'm telling you right now, Brad, I don't know if I might move him up ahead of those two guys.
I was going to say.
Just based on
it seems low.
Upside alone.
Yeah.
And the decline of Brady last season and Ben Roethlisberger losing Antonio Brown.
Yeah. No, that seems a little low. But what does this do to Kyler Murray here, to David Johnson, to Larry Fitzgerald, to Christian Kirk, to all these young receivers that we don't know yet exactly what they're all going to do? I guess from a fantasy standpoint, are you interested in all the parts over here because of Murray?
Yeah, no doubt. And I think I liked David last year, and he still ended up being the top 10 fantasy running back. He's just really inconsistent. And I don't know that the Cardinals and that offensive staff really utilized him as he should have been. And I think Cliff Kingsbury is smart enough to do that. He's an offensive-minded coach. So I think David will bounce back and be more of a reliable fantasy point contributor, probably going to be a late second-round pick because the position at the top is just so deep, and he'll probably be mixed in with a lot of the elite wide receivers coming off the board in the second round. You know, Larry, he's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best wide receivers to ever play the position. But at this point, when you consider, I think Christian Kirk is probably the better fantasy option among Cardinals wide receivers. Larry's probably right in there at two. But you've also got Andy Isabella, who can come in and potentially make an impact. He's going to be worth a late-round flyer. Hakeem Butler, the fantasy Twitter world was all over this dude, and as he kept falling in the draft, a lot of folks out there were disappointed. Now, he landed in a good spot from a dynasty perspective because Larry Fitz is not going to play forever. But in redrafts, I think Butler is a guy who probably will either be a late-round pick or not drafted at all. There's a lot of mouths to feed, but the good thing here is that with the offense that the Cardinals have built, and I think it's the most improved offense based on the draft picks of any in the league, man, they could go four wide, they can go five wide, they could spread teams out. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch that offense coming up next season.
Michael Famiano, NFL Network, NFL.com, senior fantasy analyst. Let me just throw some names at you and give me a thumbnail. N'Keal Harry in New England.
I like that. It's a good landing spot. Rob Gronkowski is retired. We don't know what's going on with Demaryius Thomas coming off the injury. Josh Gordon is a big question mark, and he's catching passes from the GOAT. So I think Julian Edelman will clearly be the first Patriots wide receiver drafted in fantasy leagues, but you know, N'Keal Harry could be number two. And I talked to Demaryius Randall, who everyone there knows from Arizona State lore, and he told me he thought that N'Keal Harry was the best wide receiver in his class.
That's really interesting. Antonio Brown and the Raiders.
Well, you know, AB blocked me on Twitter, So I'm not going to get too down on him, but I just, you know, Brad, regression in the touchdown category was inevitable, even if he stayed with Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love Derek Carr. I get it. He is not at the level of Ben Roethlisberger. That offense is not the offense that the Pittsburgh Steelers ran. They threw the ball a ton last season. They averaged about 43 pass attempts per game, which led the league. The Raiders were more in the middle of the pack. Maybe that changes with AB and Tyrell Williams in the mix. But AB is a second-round pick. I have him at sixth at wide receiver. I do like the rookie that they drafted, Josh Jacobs, out of Alabama, though, especially with Isaiah Crowell going down for the season. They did bring back Doug Martin, but I think Jacobs probably the first rookie to be drafted in redrafts and dynasty drafts.
How many players have blocked you, Michael?
You know what? I'm not sure. Like, I know AB blocked me. I think Matt Forte at one point blocked me, too, and I know why. Well, it's one of two reasons. One I won't mention. The other one is I was on NFL Total Access. I believe it was his first year with the Jets. And I had mentioned that he was going to be an RB2. And I think he thought that I meant he was going to be a backup, because I'm not sure if he understood fantasy terminology.
Yeah.
And so, like, the next thing I know, I'm blocked. But Forte ended up as an RB2 in fantasy that season. So
why did AB block you? Do you know?
So it's one of two things. I was on TA.
Yeah. Total
when
access.
We thought he was going to, right, NFL Total Access, when we thought he was going to be traded to the Bills. That was the rumor. And I said, if Antonio Brown goes to Buffalo, he is going to be out of my top 10 fantasy wide receivers. And I don't know if he saw that. And honestly, like, I'm a fantasy football analyst. What the hell does he care what I say?
Exactly.
About
honestly, that's what
like,
I'm
who
thinking.
Cares, man?
Who
like,
cares?
You know, and then when he ended up going to the Raiders, you know, I dropped him down to six from two, and I don't know if maybe that bothered him too. But who cares,
yeah,
man? Like,
still.
Don't be so sensitive. Like, I'm nobody. Even if somebody who is big and prominent, you know, out there in the football world, you know, if someone had said, oh, Antonio Brown's going to be a bust in Oakland, or Antonio Brown's going to be awful in Buffalo, like, okay, use that as motivation. You don't have to block me. Who cares?
That's crazy.
But it is what it is. I'd say, again, he's probably going to be a second-round pick coming up next season.
Before I get you out of here, a player. Just give me a player that you say, Brad, biggest move for fantasy this offseason is this guy.
You're gonna keep me to one? Like, I mean, they're the big names who have changed places this offseason. It's been ridiculous, okay? So, you know, the biggest move was probably OBJ, and Antonio Brown was right up there as well. But Brown's value declined a little bit. OBJ's value really didn't change all that much. But the one player who I believe saw the greatest increase in his fantasy value as a result of the offseason was Baker Mayfield. Because Baker Mayfield showed some flashes of potential as a rookie. Yeah, was in the top 10 quarterback. I think he was 16th. But now I have him sixth at quarterback. Like, I have him right behind Mahomes, Rodgers, Luck, Watson, and Russell Wilson because they added OBJ. Because at some point, Kareem Hunt will be back. Because this offense looks like it could be just unbelievably productive. And so Baker is probably the guy that I would say that has seen the biggest increase in fantasy value as a result of what's gone on in the offseason. So don't be surprised when Baker is, you know, one of the first five or six quarterbacks to come off the board in your fantasy draft.
See, that question wasn't that tough. I mean, I know you've got it. You pared it down. You could have given me 100 players.
Yeah.
I know that.
And you know that. You don't give me any heads up here. You just throw the questions out there,
sure,
and I try to answer them as quickly and as accurately as I can.
And you always do. You always do.
I do my best, my friend. But Baker is like I have Kyler mania, but I also have a little Baker mania as well, because these two guys, they have the potential to both be just supremely successful in the stat sheets. In 2019, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch these two guys play. And, you know, we've got some other young players who are up and coming that are helping to deepen some fantasy positions like running back. Tight end is a position that I think you're going to see a resurrection very soon with Noah Fant coming out and Hockenson coming out and Irv Smith coming out and Sternberger going to Green Bay. I think there's going to be some depth at that position with Hunter Henry coming back and O.J. Howard coming back from injury as well. So it's going to be fun, my friend.
Good hearing your voice. Thanks for the time as always, Michael. Thanks.
Go Yankees.
I love that. Here's Michael Fabiano. He gets the last word in. That is so great. Goody at the Movies is next. Stay with us. Now it's time for Goody at the Movies. Bill Goodykuntz, AZ Central, Gannett, chief film and media critic. If you say anything to Bill about the length of a movie and how it's too long, he's going to jump down your throat on Twitter. Thus, I shan't do that. Although the length of the NFL draft went forever the other night, but that's just me.
Yes, but you can control that a little bit. They have commercial breaks.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. How are you, Bill? What's new? What's going on?
Just doing head down and nose to the grindstone and all that.
Yeah? When's your Kent Dana story coming out?
Later this month.
Yeah?
It was really, we had a really nice talk. He was, he's really funny. He's had some health issues, some setbacks, but he seems like he's on the mend.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows how to be on either end of an interview. I'll say that.
He's been at it a few times.
He's done it a time or two.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into the movies then. El Chicano.
El Chicano.
Help me out with this one.
It's El Chicano, and it's. It's a movie with good intentions. It's the movies could certainly use a Latino superhero. This ain't it. it's really sort of the story's kind of muddled and it's super violent, which is fine. But it's sort of like a Batman type character, but he's a cop. He's not a billionaire. He's a cop whose twin brother got into crime and stuff. And there's sort of a bigger story to it. But it never quite comes together, and the direction's kind of sloppy. The most interesting thing to this movie right now is that one of the filmmakers, one of the screenwriters who directed the movie The Gray, which I like quite a bit, is now trolling me on Twitter.
All right. Beautiful.
And basically saying that I'm a white guy, and I gave this a bad review, and is encouraging all of his followers to come down on me, which they are doing with glee.
Yeah.
So,
how's that working out for you?
I'm actually, from him, I'm a little surprised. A lot of trolls, so what? You expect it. From him, I did not, but, that, as someone told me just recently, that is the lay of the land right now.
Yeah, it'll be something else down the road. Let's move over then from this to The White Crow. The White Crow, tell me about this.
This is a better movie. This is it's a sort of a biopic of Rudolf Nureyev, who is a great dancer, ballet dancer in the 1960s and 70s, and he was famous not only because he was generally considered the best dancer of that generation, but also he defected from Russia in 1961 to France, and that was a time that it was defecting was, I mean, I'm sure it still is, but it was a huge deal, and particularly somebody who was famous, and so the movie kind of builds it shows you how he grew up and how he was. Great dancer. He's kind of a jerk, but as sort of temperamental artist types can be. But the whole movie kind of builds up to this scene in the airport where he defects, where they keep telling him, "We're going back to Moscow. You're going to do a private dance for the premiere." He's like, "No, I'm not." And they're like, "Okay, your mom's sick." And he's like, "No, she's not." And he's like, "You're not taking me back. You're going to kill me." But you can't just run away. You got to defect in a certain way. So it's pretty interesting that way. I don't think the two parts fit together that great, but they, I like it, and it's worth seeing. Defection was a big deal. My favorite defection story was on the great show WKRP in Cincinnati, where a Russian guy tried to defect in the radio newsroom and fell in love with Bailey Quarters, the secretary, who I always thought was great. And to make it poignant, Dr. Johnny Fever, the DJ, at the end played Tiny Dancer because Elton John had just become the first Western artist to play the Soviet Union, and he dedicated it to Bailey Quarters. And I just said to my 10th grade self, it didn't get much deeper than that. That was great.
That show, by the way, why have they not done a reboot of that show, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, could you top it? there have been a lot of Office. You know, it's basically an Office workplace comedy. And, you know, you've had two versions of The Office and the great old show that not many people watch, News Radio, with the late, great Phil Hartman.
Yep.
And maybe that's why. I don't know. But that one, it was so personality driven. Those would be hard to.
That was so well written.
That would be a hard question to recast, you know?
Yeah, every time I did the turkey drive for those 20 years, we would do the turkeys out of the helicopter, and I, you know, KTAR.
God is my witness.
Yeah, KTAR. They started playing it. I'm like, well, guys, it's radio. You know, the audio is fine. And then at Channel 3, they would do it every year, and I would say, well, let's just do one then. And then, well, we can't do that. We used to do turkey bowling, Bill. This is a little rant, and we do the WKRP bit. But then I would do the turkey bowling, and I have these animal activists that are kind of like trolling you on your movie that would call in and say, Brad is abusing this bird. And I would look in the camera and say, the bird is dead. Its head is cut off and shoved up its rear. It doesn't feel a thing. But, you know, different time, different place. I'll let you go off that. Stay well. See you. You're laughing. Leave them laughing, as we like to say.
That's a good one to end on. All right.
There you go. See ya. It's goody. Good to catch up with Bill. Devin Henry is our chairman of the board. Devin keeps working away at his NASCAR and sport of speed. I guess I shouldn't call you NASCAR guy. His sport of speed love. And he's going to put some stuff up on the site. I don't know. Do it within the next hour or month. Just do it. Eric Sorensen is the senior executive vice president of Everything or Nothing. Today he found Pedro Gomez, Michael Fabiano, and Good at the Movies. So he's executive vice president of everything. He is great, like Danny Ainge. All right. If you don't know what we're talking about, just stay tuned, because this show will repeat over and over and over. And make sure you support the sponsors that you hear about. Without their support, we do not do this. We are self-funded, and it's great that we have been with you and continue to be with you into year number 9. Believe it or not, coming up in September. Have a great day.